You know, I was like looking at the standings because like everyone's been talking about how disappointing the Jays' season is, like in Blue Jay Land.
I mean, they're in the toughest division in baseball.
I'm like, they're the fourth best record in the baseball.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Well,
like, yeah, like it's like sixth, I think. But I don't know what they did today yet. I haven't looked at all the scores.
They lost. They lost to the Angels 3-2, but they crushed them like 6-1 back to back days. So.
Going at Aldo in the baseball channel, saying the Angels were going to be really good. I don't know, man. I don't think so.
And the Angels were probably going to sneak in and steal that last like wild card spot from the Jays.
You think so? I don't know.
Yeah, Jays have got bad vibes this season, man. Bad vibes.
They just traded for the Cardinals closer.
Yeah, they finally got a little bit of reliever depth, so hopefully that helps. I mean, like, so today they lost because Jimmy Garcia blew another save opportunity.
Did I accidentally join the baseball?
Welcome to the full count.
The full count.
Yeah, meant to do that.
You know, it's on brand. To stumble over the
only the only MLB podcast podcast. Fuck my
Jesus
ass.
Christ!
You see, there you go. It's on brand.
Good Christ.
I hope you're ready, because once this train is moving, you can't stop it unless you hit pause or your listening device crashes. You're about to start listening to the Fool Court Press podcast. That's F-O-O-L, Fool. We don't mess up your name, so say ours right. A terrible name, and I'm glad they're dead. Sandoria McConnell, Mussolini or something?
Fool Court Press.
Jamarcus Russell Wilson. You're going to hear the hard-hitting, well-researched basketball analysis.
Kawhi Leonard has a size 14 shoe, so...
And somebody else I can't remember. It's from Four Strangers with No Chemistry.
It was me.
I am the host, Lufa, who prides himself on precise NBA opinion. Yeah, it's just Big Shire. It's the land of Luke Kennard's. Well, you know how like the Florida Panthers are like in Sunrise, Florida? It's like not like a real place. I am joined by NBA draft specialist and Tuchel apologist, Baldy.
All of Florida's just made up.
As well as Sandoria.
Yeah, a real dick that guy is.
Whose consistent fire takes.
No, like Luca, I think he's a real piece of shit. Luca's the owner of the Suns. I think he'd be a better owner.
Will scorch every part of your franchise.
Trade this motherfucker. Sarver's a real piece of shit. What a stupid name. Well, we got a lake up there. We're the Lakers. Still a better name than the Thunder.
A real dick that guy is. I hate you.
Finally, we have our Australian basketball enthusiast, Duke.
Brooklyn Nets have three players who were born in Australia.
So pay attention. This may be free, but it's important.
But what does it mean?
Jesus fucking Christ, just shoot me.
Everything will be fine.
And we're back, better than ever. Welcome back to the Fool Court Press Podcast, the only podcast made by fools for fools. I'm joined here today by Sandy, Duke, and not Baldy. Everyone say hi.
Hey.
It's Sando.
I'm not doing it again.
It's okay. We don't need it to happen again. We're going to start off our episode like we start off every episode with our topics of the week, our topics du jour, our topics de jante, our topics de Duke. De Duke? our topic is DeJounte this week. We have the writers and actors guild are being backed by the players associations among the many leagues. The NBA memo regarding Damian Lillard and Dame's loyalty issues. Rosters to watch in the Spurs in Oklahoma City. Players ready to take over the league this summer after this summer. Ben Simmons, Cat, Drummond, Jeff Teague should have always had a podcast. There's also Jaylen Brown, the highest paid player in the league. Serbian under 18 European Championship issues, and apologies to Al Farouk Aminu. Sandy, which topic should we start off with first?
Well, we have to start with the biggest story of the week, the biggest news, the most shocking thing for sure. Jeff Teague's funny enough to have his own podcast? Who saw that coming? Who had that on their bingo card?
I don't know, man, but have you seen some of the crazy crap that he's saying on his podcast? It's very entertaining.
He's one of the funniest guys I've heard. And I tell you what, 3 months ago, someone told me Jeff Teague's funny. I'd have been like, what?
So there's been four main sound bites that circled around based off Jeff Teague's podcast. First, he talked about the Jimmy practice. When Jimmy Butler wanted out of Minnesota, so he took the G Leaguers and whooped up the starters without taking a shot. Then he also described him playing in the Minnesota Nuggets play-in game before the play-in tournament. Where the Minnesota Timberwolves won on the last day of the season to get into eighth place and have the right to lose in six games to the Golden State Warriors. Then he also mentioned that Harden's better than Wade. And then there was what was the last one that he had done that had some funny notes to it. Oh, when he played in the China game against Steph Curry, played his best defense of his entire career. Even Thibodeau went out of his way to tell him that's the best defense he'd ever seen him play, and Steph Curry got 46. So, guys, which one of those topics would you like to tackle first?
Oh man,
they're all pretty good.
Jimmy Butler and the G Leaguers.
My favorite one is the Jimmy Butler and the G Leaguers story when he was telling it. He was like, oh man, he's making a fool out of these guys, and then he realized that he was on the team that was getting made a fool of.
Yep.
That's one of my favorite NBA mythology stories.
Oh yeah, like I feel like Jeff Teague is the first like nut to crack on that entirely, because everything else has just been kind of like speculative or innuendo. But like, ooh, you know, he apparently Jimmy Butler came in with like with the wolf cut out of his jersey apparently, and then he was talking immense amount of shit to the general manager and assistant general manager as he is whooping up on everybody. And then Jeff Teague's is like, man, these guys suck. And then he was just like, he realizes like, oh shit, that's me. I'm on the starters.
Oh, that's great.
Such a great story. And the fact that he didn't take a single shot throughout the entire scrimmage, epic.
It's crazy that guys can just turn it on like that. Just get motivated just to talk shit.
It's crazy that it's crazy that a person can dominate a game without taking a shot.
Yeah, there's a lot about it that's great.
Duke, did you have anything you wanted to share on the Harden Wade comparisons?
I can't think of anything. No.
Sandy, your thoughts?
I think if you're going one to one here, when it comes to offensive game, I go Harden. When it comes to all around, I probably do lean Wade, just because he's got the defensive chops as well, and he's got championships. He's got the better overall resume. But as just a guy in terms of like accumulating stats in the league, Harden's gonna go down as like a top five dude when it's all said and done.
I think that we misremember Dwayne Wade in the Big Three era. Like he Dwayne Wade's best season in the Big Three era was the season that they the first season when they lost. After mm-hmm. that, though, he was struggling hard with knee issues through a lot of that time, and his availability was very slim. And one thing that you can say about James Harden is that guy plays the games. You know, like he didn't have to ride the pine for like 20, 30 games a season. Like the longevity of Harden and just the overall contributions of Harden. Also, the other thing is like there was basically an 8-year period where Harden was in the conversation of MVP of the league, a conversation that Dwayne Wade maybe entered once in his entire career. I mean, if you just go on brass tacks, it's not even comparable. Dwayne Wade is not nearly the talent that Harden was in the league. Wade has the championships, and that's one piece of criteria. But I think if you look at the careers holistically, Harden's far more successful.
What are brass tacks? What are brass tacks? Where does that saying come from?
I believe
some legal
they're like
mumbo jumbo.
I believe they're like tacks, like as in like as like pins for a board.
It's not like tax.
It's like TAC. Yeah, no, it's not like it's more like it's like when you break it down to it's like it's bare bones or like the things that are holding it together, the brass tacks.
That's what Wade's paying.
It's one of those words like gall. It just always is accompanied by unmitigated. You can't say brass tacks without also including the word down to or getting down to.
Yeah,
like you don't go up to the nitty gritty. You get down to the brass tacks.
To the nitty gritty.
You know, there's a lot of words that Sandy can't say without getting down. So, anyways, we're gonna move on. What do you want to talk about next, Duke? Do you want to talk about Dame Lillard and the memo?
Dillard. No, I know what I want to talk about. I want to talk about the Players Union backing the writers and actors.
Ooh.
Yeah, so the NBA Players Union, the MLB Players Union, the NHL Players Union, and the NFL Players Union, and as well as the NBA Players Union, all had a joint statement backing the Writers and Actors Guild in their ongoing labor dispute with the Studio Association. So what did you want to talk about there, Duke?
I love it. I like hearing them come out and say that. I wish more of the Players Unions would do that. However, all of
the players' unions did it, basically.
Did they? I didn't. This is the first I'm hearing of it.
Except for MLS, I think, is the only one I didn't see. But like all the major sports came out in support of it in a joint statement.
Good. However, I'm going to use a phrase I hate. I want them to keep that same energy when teachers are striking, when other labor unions are striking. There is no reason that they can't back, you know, smaller, maybe less visible work stoppages.
Less national.
Yeah. You know, I'll applaud it, but also say just keep it consistent.
Hey, Sandy, can you just kind of mute in between your talking just because of the fan? That'd be great. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. But yeah, no, I 100% agree. When it comes down to brass tacks, it's when it's put up or shut up time.
Someone's got to pay the brass tax here. So I agree.
Someone has to get down to the bare bones, the nitty gritty.
Yeah, bare bones.
No, I 100% agree. It's great to see that kind of solidarity now. It's weird because players' unions, when you're part of a union, there is like a union to union solidarity consistently, but it's almost like in sports.
Unless it's a police union.
Didn't you have some
thoughts on that?
Yeah, but they're not the ones that you're accusing me of. I'll get canceled for a whole different reason. you don't ever really see that solidarity when it comes to players' unions. You don't even see, like, I mean, the teachers union used to own the MLS, the Ontario Teachers Union used to own MLSE, the Maple Leafs Sports and Entertainment, which is the organization that owns the Maple Leafs and the Raptors.
They were owned by the labor union?
Yeah, they were owned by the pension plan for the teachers union.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
How does that work?
The pension plan is an investment organization. They invested in MLSE. It was a very good investment for them too, because they ended up selling to a conglomerate of Bell and Rogers, which are two big telecom companies here in Canada, for like something like 11 times the value about 6 years ago. So
interesting.
Yeah, but good like. But, you know, like, the idea of a teacher's union being the owners in that situation, and, like, just that lack of, like, that lack of solidarity, I feel like, between between unions when it comes to the players' unions mm-hmm. and more domestic unions, I think is definitely an area of opportunity, for sure. So, I agree.
Agree.
All right. Sandy, you want to talk Dame? Do you want to talk about the players that are ready to take over the league this summer? Rosters to watch, or the Serbian under 18 European Championship? Or would you like to indulge in an apology to Al Farouk Aminu?
I have nothing to apologize to him for, but I'd love to hear your apology.
Well, you know what? I was reviewing some news over the week, and something came up regarding Al Farouk Aminu and. And I realized that he is definitely a top like 20 name for sure. That makes me smile in the NBA and for leaving him that egregious error of leaving him out of my selections for my team. I just need to say a prepared statement. Like everyone else, podcasters make mistakes.
Oh God.
And I made one 4 weeks ago when I made that was gut wrenching for us. This will play heavily on my conscience and cause many sleepless nights as we strive to be the best podcasters we can be. So Al Farouk Aminu from the Full Court Press podcast from Lufa and my family, I beg for you to forgive us. You have an all-time name and you need to be respected that way. Moving on.
Nick Castellanos drives it in the left field.
Very, very Wake Forest heavy episode already with the Jeff Teague and Farouk Aminu.
Hmm. Yeah. Well,
wonder who else we could bring up.
Did Nick Castellanos go to Wake Forest?
Does anybody have any Chris Paul takes they need to get sound off in the chat?
I know someone on this call probably does.
Ishmith. There have been nice things to say about Chris Paul.
Ishmith.
Oh, yeah, Ishmith. Yeah. Josh Howard.
Was Tim Duncan Wake Forest?
He was.
He was.
There you go.
Muggsy Bogues, I believe, was...
Did the big fundamental.
Another all-time name that was left off the list. Muggsy.
Hmm.
So Duke.
Yeah?
You want to talk Dame? Or you want to talk the players that are going to take over the league?
Let's talk about Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown. So Jaylen Brown signed a 5-year, $306 million contract to the surprise of absolutely no one. Boston Celtics said that they were going to sign this contract, offer this contract. The fact that it got the fact that it took so long was one thing that people were kind of wondering about. But he's the highest paid player in the league. Now, obviously, that's a bit of a misnomer. The salary cap goes up every year. The contract, the 30% over 5 years, 35% of the cap over 5 years goes up naturally every year. So next season, the highest paid player will likely be Jason Tatum. In 2032, if the cap continues to rise by 10%, which is what it's estimated to based off of the new CBA, you're going to be looking at your first $500 million contract in the NBA. So it's definitely interesting. I know a lot of people look at Jaylen Brown and they think to themselves, he doesn't deserve to be the highest paid player in the league. But the reality is it's kind of like QB contracts. It's always just the next guy.
Who would you put money on being the first $500 million contract?
Scotty Barnes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Keep dreaming.
No, because he'll be up. He'll be up for that second contract renewal at that period of time. He'll probably have made at least one all NBA team, which is what he'll have needed for to qualify for that 35%. So, Scotty Barnes.
I said first.
Yeah. 2032 would be Scotty Barnes. He'll probably get a max extension this season, which will be a four year extension with an opt out in the fourth year, which will put him right into that range. He'll just hit one. All he has to do is hit one All NBA, which is likely to happen, and then He'll get himself that 35% max, which is going to be $500 million.
Well, wouldn't he be on the same timeline as the other guys in that draft, like Cunningham or Mobley?
Yeah, Mobley would be another one that would probably get in there.
So this comes down to who has the fastest handwriting when it comes to signing the contract.
I guess,
it'll be
the
first one.
I see.
Yeah, I guess because that draft probably has about three or four people that have a chance at it. I mean, reality is Josh Giddey probably doesn't have the lane in Oklahoma City to be the type of player that would get him on an All NBA team.
Well, and he might be the odd man out there.
Yeah, he might end up getting traded as well, which would also disqualify him from the 30.
Yeah, I think Cade Cunningham has too many letters in his name to write it out that fast, so he won't be the first one.
Well, Cade has to finish a season right now, he's only 2 years into his career, but the more you look at that Detroit roster, you're just like, I don't know what they're doing there. So it could be a little bit messy for him. Franz Wagner would be the other one that I think would have a chance at that $500 million for sure.
I'll throw a name out there.
Yeah.
Alperen Şengün.
Maybe. I don't know, because if he gets traded,
that's all I get from you, a maybe.
If he gets traded, he doesn't qualify for that 35%. It has to be the team that drafted you, right? So.
Whatever.
Murphy
the third.
Listen, I'm a Şengün for life. Don't get me wrong.
I'm just gonna start throwing names out.
Also, the center position is so deep nowadays.
Duke.
Yeah, but he grew like 5 inches.
That's true.
I want you to do a quick little Google search here, okay? You said Trey Murphy the third. I'd like you to Google Troy Murphy and see the difference.
Oh, I know just Troy one Murphy letter. Is. I know Troy just, Murphy.
Just one letter, the difference in the player that you get.
I'm aware. I know of him.
Troy Murphy.
He's a Pacer, wasn't he?
I think he might have been, yeah.
And he looks like a Pacer, too.
Yeah, he's the Pacer himself.
The car, not the team.
So the other aspect of Jaylen Brown that was interesting is in his press conference when he talked about his new contract, he said he wanted to reinvest in Boston and make Boston the new Black Wall Street, which is definitely an admirable adventure. So if he's able to reinvest that money locally in Boston, I think that'd be really helpful, particularly to an African-American community is very disenfranchised in that area. So
is that what he means by Black Wall Street?
When that's what I assume he means, like, which
not
is
taking
like
advantage of the lower class. And
I mean, capitalism is capitalism is capitalism. So the rules are the same, whether you're a banker or a baker, or a candlestick maker. But yeah, it should be interesting. It's an admirable goal.
No, I applaud it. I just we've seen some questionable things, I guess.
From Jaylen Brown?
Camp, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a
couple
things.
Nothing that's on the level of say the NBA's more main characters.
Well, he was originally signed to the Kanye Kanye agency, and when Kanye was going on his anti-Semitic downturn, he stood by him, and it took a while before he ended up dropping him. What was the name of that agency? I can't remember right now. Donda agency. He's also had some interesting quotes here or there. He's been Kyrie pilled, so some of his activism, while good intentioned, may not necessarily be strategically the best, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I just wonder how deep that is, what avenues he chooses to take.
I mean, from everything that I've read on the side about Jaylen Brown, is he's a person who takes his education very seriously.
Yeah.
But it's like he's I believe he went back to Berkeley. to complete his education. So, you know, Berkeley, obviously, the professors there, it's an activist university. So, you know, obviously political activism and social activism is going to be very important to him. And obviously, you know, his early tutelage was under Kyrie Irving, where, you know, activism is very important to Kyrie Irving as well. But not all activism is the same. So
no,
we'll see how it goes.
I don't want to sound like I'm shitting all over it either. I think great. I think I think more players should use their platforms.
It's a hell of a commitment to say that you want to not only invest in like the African American community, but locally within the African American community.
That's so an important part of it too. Yeah.
Yeah. So much of player wealth seems to be centered in areas that they end up going to in the summer, whether it's LA or Miami or things like that. So for him to commit to doing that locally, I think is awesome, you know. And you know, it's a very ambitious goal, the Black Wall Street. But you know, when you have $300 million worth of seed money for it, there's definitely a lot of opportunity that he has the ability to create, for sure.
And that salary goes up every year.
Yeah, I mean, but the reality is, as well, is like I was breaking it down. Like, it's so in 2020, when's the last year of his contract? I think it's 2029.
Is it?
It's one or the other. But his salary was going to be $67 million, just around $67 million a year, which would be estimated around 31% of the cap. Whomever signs a contract in that season, a max contract, the 35% max, their first season, they're going to get paid like $71 million that year, right? Like, so it sounds like it, and all of it's a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. I'll sign up for $67 million any day of the week.
What are we doing here?
but the reality is like his contract, when he gets to the end of it, he's going to be, he's not going to be even near the top paid players of the league, right? So,
all right. Probably not even top 10 at that point.
Absolutely. Sandy, do you have any thoughts on Jaylen Brown?
Very good.
All right, moving on. Players to take that are planning on taking over for this season: Ben Simmons, Cat, and Drummond. You've been watching these. You've been watching these workout videos, Duke?
I've not. No.
No, you haven't. No. You haven't been keeping up with it.
No, Ben Simmons. I've been seeing certain unnamed reporters carry water for these guys.
He's ready to take over because August is here.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Ben Simmons. It was reported by Mark Spears as well as somebody else. I can't remember, but you know, Ben Simmons is back. His back is feeling good. His knees are feeling good.
Is back.
His back is back, and he's ready to be the All-NBA talent that he is.
Yep. Oh, yeah, he's so ready, guys.
And he's going to compete for the starting point guard position for the Brooklyn Nets.
He's not ready yet. He's got another day. But I'm telling you, this time on Tuesday, Ben Simmons is back.
Just in time for August.
Hey, just turned 27, guys. Happy fucking birthday, man.
Happy 27. I feel like just yesterday he was 23, fresh out.
Just yesterday. <Mm-mm-mm>.
Happy fucking birthday, indeed. How about Kat? You guys excited to see Kat? I saw him. He was dribbling with both hands.
That's not gonna last long.
he was posting up his coach, who was like probably like 6'2", and getting some easy lay-ins. It was beautiful.
Did you say his coach was 6'2" or 62?
Tomato potato. And then of course there's Andre Drummond. Andre Drummond. I watched him. He got a steal and a dunk. He's shooting threes. I mean, the league. It's not ready. I don't think we're ready. I don't think we're ready to accept Wembanyama into the league ecosystem. Scoot Henderson's going to be there. You know, Tyrese Haliburton looks like he's poised to be another player ready to take over the league. I don't know if the league's ready for a resurgence of Karl-Anthony Towns, Ben Simmons, and Andre Drummond. It's like the Horsemen. These are the four horsemen.
Podcast is ready.
Where's the who's the fourth one?
We need a fourth one. We need the we need a fourth player to come from beyond the grave.
That would be a good one.
Let's pick somebody.
Dion Waiters was in the news.
Oh, Dion Waiters. That's right. No. Actually, you know what? Hassan Whiteside back from Puerto Rico.
Yo, he's back.
Andre Blatch.
Oh,
that's a good name.
Andre Blatch. That's a great name. Blatch.
John Wall.
That's not as great a name.
No. John Wall needs another 4-year contract with the Houston Rockets.
Yes, that's great. I like that.
Just to not play.
For them to buy him out by Christmas.
I think there's a chance. Look at that.
There's a chance. You're telling me there's a chance.
You look at that team, and you know what they need? They need a veteran presence at point guard.
Don't need to spend another $40 million on it.
You gotta love a team that's looking for a veteran presence to lead the team. Show a team how to lead.
Show a team how to win.
Oh, I mean, still out there on
what it matters.
Still out there on the free agency market is Christian Wood. I can't wait to see who a team takes a chance on him, because they're gonna sign a minimum veteran contract for a guy who's just gonna fucking start for them and torch the league. I don't understand why he's still out there.
You don't?
I don't. I really don't. I mean, all intents and purposes, I get that Dallas really screwed with him based off of not playing him because he was not his defensive liabilities. Yeah. But I mean, are you telling me the Washington Wizards wouldn't be a little bit better with him, or somebody along those lines?
I have no idea.
I'm hearing in the weeds is he's going to the Lakers for the minimum. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be better for it.
So a little prove it deal.
Yeah, well, I mean that's what he's getting now, which is crazy because he should at least be in a world where Jakob Pearl's making $20 million a season, he should be at least getting 15.
I can see it now, man. He's posted up under the basket calling for the ball, like LeBron James elevated to get the free throw line to take a shot.
Oh fuck that! That'll be the only shot Christian Wood blocks. He ain't nobody's bitch. He's getting that ball. So there's that. So you guys want to talk Dame Lillard, or do you guys want to talk Serbia?
Yeah, what happened in Serbia?
So Draft Express, ESPN, Jonathan Gavoni, was over in Serbia for the European Under 18. Tournament, and apparently they've been having a huge mess with court maintenance. There was a lot of water on the court because of humidity, moisture buildup in the arena, and kids were slipping and getting injured all over the place. And they continued to run the tournament. Jonathan Gavoni videotaped some of it and posted it on his Twitter, and FIBA, the International Basketball Organization, had Twitter shut down his Twitter account. Temporarily,
free speech.
Because of some copyright laws or something on that. So his Twitter account got shut down, and he had to read about some privacy thing before he was able to activate his Twitter again. And then the semifinals were knocked out because apparently some viral infection wiped out half of the rosters. In the tournament. So there was a bunch of kids that were hospitalized with a pretty bad stomach virus that just wiped them all out.
Does anyone happen to know what Rudy Gobert's current whereabouts were when that happened?
Uh-oh.
He was touching microphones for the French team.
Oh, boy.
When you said there was news involving Serbia on our NBA show, I automatically just assumed we were going to talk about Jokic winning a horse race.
He sure as shit did, didn't he?
He's living his best life. Good for Jokic. He's having such a great offseason. I hope he comes late to summer camp, to training camp this year after having a nice long summer.
He's gonna come back fat.
Is he? Because like even
and he's still gonna torch the league.
He's even halfway through the off season. Like I was looking at that video of him celebrating with his new trophy. He's still looking pretty svelte.
Yeah, looking slim and trim.
Like, yeah, he's looking like a modern day Luka Doncic.
No.
I hate him.
So Duke and San Diego, something interesting that's happened over this off season is the rosters of the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Spurs are over 20 players apiece. Now the Oklahoma City Thunder have already released Rudy Gay, but they still have another 5 players on their roster that have to go. And when you look at their roster, there's not an easy 5 players to cut. Like you're looking at possibly Poku hitting free agency, Trey Mann possibly hitting free agency. A lot of teams are really excited about the possibility of getting some of these guys for free. I was wondering, are you guys taking a look at these rosters lately, and who would you put on the chopping block first?
I saw you put that in the chat the other day. I didn't get a chance to really look at it. I'd be surprised if they gave up on Poku already, though, right? I mean,
well, the issue is like let me just I'm sorry, I'm trying to find it here. Okay,
because I know the other guys like Isaiah Joe, they're not gonna
get rid of Isaiah Joe. So they have to get right now they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So they have 20 players. They need to cut the 5 to get down to 10. So let me read their roster, and you tell me who they're going to cut. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
No.
Davis Bertans?
No.
Lugonis Dort?
No.
Chet Holmgren?
No.
Here's the first one they'll probably cut. Victor Oladipo.
I think they probably should.
I think his time's probably... almost up here.
Then this is one of their big signings from the offseason. He's the EuroLeague 2-time MVP. Vasilevskiy Micic. He just got signed. He's not getting cut. Josh Giddey.
No.
Kendrick Williams.
I don't Kaysen think so. Wallace. No, no.
Yeah. Kaysen Wallace.
No.
Poku.
Maybe. Let's hear the rest of them.
We're running out of names here.
Osmani Deng is not getting cut.
No,
he's a rookie that they're pretty happy about.
Yeah.
Jalen Williams, the other Jalen Williams.
Nope.
Probably just so people stop mixing them up.
don't think that's happening. Trey Mann is possible. Usman Garuba, I was listening to Oklahoma City podcast. They think that they might prefer him over Poku. Ty Washington Jr. probably getting cut.
You think so? Jalen Williams traded for him.
Yeah, but it was like a salary dump kind of situation. So Garuba, Washington, Poku, at least two of those three are getting cut. And then Oladipo's probably getting cut. So we'll call that three.
Isn't there a Jack White there?
Yeah, Jack White, he'll probably get cut.
Not the musician, right?
No.
Okay.
Then there's Isaiah Joe, Jeremiah Robinson Earl, and Aaron Wiggins.
No, I think all of them. I think they wind up keeping all of them.
I think maybe Earl, but yeah, like I mean, there's definitely going to be at least 2 or 3 players that once they get cut, people are going to be pretty excited to go and pick up.
What a great problem to have, huh?
Yeah. No, but also it's kind of like an asset mismanagement almost, right? Like it's like you have all these assets, you got to turn them into something, right? Oh, and like they got another 4 first round picks coming up in this next draft.
Ugh. I just saw who one of their assistant coaches is. Dave Bliss. Gross.
Makes you happy, huh?
That's fucking gross.
I was blissfully unaware.
Yeah, he's anyway.
So San Antonio, they have to cut 3 players, and here's their roster. Keldon Johnson staying, Doug McDermott staying, Victor Wembanyama staying, Devontae Graham staying, Reggie Bullock staying, Trey Jones just signed him, so they're staying, Zach Collins, he's their starting center, he's staying, Kem Birch probably is going to go, CeeDee Osman, you know, he Chen. probably or Chetty, sorry, Chetty Osman, he'll probably go. Cameron Payne, he has a potential of going. Vassell, Sochan, Branham, Julian Champagny had a really, they just signed him to a four-year, $12 million contract, so he's staying. Blake Leslie is still got another $10 million guaranteed on a four-year contract. Charles Batsy also got a lot of guaranteed money. And then Sandro Mamukleveshkali, and then Sidi Sissoko. So theirs is going to be a little bit easier, I think, decision-making. You're looking at probably the three getting cut would be probably Birch, Osman, and Payne. But even still, those three players, two of those would probably get picked up almost instantly, I think, on free agency markets. So something interesting to ponder for sure.
So they only have to cut three, or they have to cut five as well?
They have to cut three. They're at 18. Okay. Final roster is 15, right? So the other thing too to consider is like, yeah, okay, you're keeping all those players, right? If you're Oklahoma City, but who's getting minutes on that team, right? Like Cason Wallace is not going to get any time.
Spread them around
this season. Right, like Trey Mann, Aaron Wiggins, they seem like very promising players, but even if you keep them on your roster, you're not going to have any minutes for them because you're not going to be taking them away from like a home ground or something like that, right?
Some guys getting some time in the G League, I would think.
Yeah, they have to, right? So yeah, and then I think that about wraps up the topics de Jante.
Do you remember when?
Fultz is going to be back here at the Fultz Court Press Pod. We love that guy. So we're looking forward to seeing him play. Hopefully the full season. Hopefully nothing comes up outside of his stub toe. You know what I mean?
Buddy, come on, man. You just... The Fultz season. The Fultz season. Right, it was right there. Jesus Christ.
I just did Fultz Court Press. Like, I'm not going
to
do
Fultz. Like, I mean, if you already were going to do Fultz puns, man, come on.
Let's go all in.
Like, God damn it. I can't edit it back in, just so you know. Like, I can't make it sound like
this. This is funnier. This is funnier.
Get a clean take. Just start over.
You're listening to the Fultz Court Press Podcast.
All right, we're back and better than ever. Thank you so much for joining us on the Fultz Court Press Podcast, the only podcast made by fools for fools. Now it's time for a new segment this week. We're well into the off season, and I decided I wanted to stump Duke. So Luf is going to fool Duke.
Okay.
I'm going to make a fool of you, Duke. Because I know there's one thing in this world that you love the most in basketball.
Yeah?
Yeah. And that's the Louisville Cardinals.
Oh, no.
Oh, no fooling?
Oh, no.
So I'm going to... I put together five questions for you based off of the Louisville Cardinals, particularly Louisville Cardinals that played or have played in the NBA.
Okay.
We're gonna test you on your Louisville knowledge.
Okay.
And just remember, this is being recorded, and it's going to be sent out into the world, so everybody's going to know... Okay,
that's fine.
Everyone's going to know your Louisville credentials... at the end of this.
Everyone knows.
Thousands and I'm thousands terrible at this, of people.
But let's go. I'm ready.
All right. From pick a number between 1 and 5.
4.
All right. Purvis Ellison is the only former Cardinal to be drafted first overall.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the three who were taken second overall?
I was hoping it'd be a... Purvis Ellison question. Taking second?
Yeah.
Good grief, man. Well, it hasn't been anyone recent. I can tell you that.
Yeah, that's another question.
Yeah, no, it's been a minute. I don't know. Yeah, it would have had to have been a while ago.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think. Charlie Tyre.
That's one.
That was like the '50s, dude. Oh man. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm just kind of blanking on like some of those old dudes, you know.
Well, one of them has a trophy named after him.
Oh yeah.
Mhm. Most improved.
The Mopo?
Yeah.
Nuh-uh. Is it really?
Les Unseld?
Oh, Unseld. I thought you meant the Mopo.
No, most improved. Sorry.
Yeah, of course, Wes Unseld, of course. God damn it.
And then Daryl Griffin is the other second overall pick.
He went second?
Yeah.
I don't know why I was thinking he was like top five, but...
All of these facts... All of these facts are also courtesy of therealgm.com. So basketball.realgm.com.
I get the fucking oldest one, right? The most ancient one is the one that I get.
All right, give me another number.
One.
One? All right. So five players from Louisville. Or sorry, who are the five players from the Louisville Cardinals that have more than 10 years of service in the NBA?
More than 10.
Yeah.
So I don't think Purvis Ellison played for more than 10 seasons. Actually, you know what? Maybe he did. I'm going to say Purvis.
Yep.
Gorgie Jang.
Nope.
He's
at
be.
10.
Oh, so
he's at 10.
Okay, so more than 10. So it'd be Unseld would be one of them.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of some of those 70s guys. That's not my wheelhouse.
There's only one guy that was drafted in the 70s.
Gotcha. All right. Hmm.
One guy was drafted the year after Purvis Ellison. I don't know if that helps you at all.
So he would have been 87. No, 88.
Ellison was drafted in 89. This person was drafted in 90.
See, just nailed it. 89, just like I said. Nailed it. Oh, you thought this was going to be... You thought this was... This was.
This is going exactly how I was hoping it was going to go, to be honest.
I'm so bad. I'm so bad at trivia.
Felton Spencer, drafted in 1990.
Of course.
In 1975, Junior Bridgman.
Of course, yep, yep.
And in 1983, Rodney McCray.
Got it.
Yeah. Yep.
Rodney.
All right. Well, I mean, like, you got Charlie Trya on the first question.
Tyree.
And then you got Purvis Ellison on the second one. So let's see. We got three more. Let's see how you do.
Let's just go right down the line like a firing
squad.
All right,
number two. There are six active Louisville alums in the NBA. Can you name them?
I can.
Yep.
So Gorgie?
There's one that you're not going to get.
Technically active. I bet I will. Okay. Montrezl Harrell.
Yep.
Donovan Mitchell.
Yep.
Damian Lee.
Yep.
Is David Johnson still active?
He wasn't on my list of active players.
Jordan Wara. I think
Jordan Wara and Wara, yep.
Terry
Even
Rozier.
Though I don't think he's a free agent, Terry Rozier. There's one more.
Wara was playing with Indiana.
He was with Indiana, but I think he's a free agent resign? Now. Yeah, but he was on my active list, so I kept him there. This guy here. He's on a two-way contract with the Chicago Bulls, this last guy.
So there's two names that I know made or were drafted. I don't think this guy's here, but I'll say Ray Spalding.
No.
Okay. So the other guy I'm thinking of would be Carly Jones.
That is their correct answer.
Okay.
You nailed it, Betty. Good job.
I'm better with the recent guys,
nice
even
job,
though it's been
Benny.
Absolute dog shit for the last three, four seasons.
All right. Well, here's a good one. This is going to be nice and easy for you, okay?
Yep.
There has only been seven players drafted in the first round that are Louisville alums since the year 2000.
Only seven? Wow. Okay.
Only seven in the first round.
Okay.
And now that I'm looking at this, I can't possibly be right because Montrezl Harrell's not on this list.
Yeah, that's,
so there's
that's
only
not...
eight.
Well, he was a second rounder, actually.
Was Montrezl Harrell second?
Yeah,
I thought
yeah,
he was drafted
late
like 10th.
Or early second. Yeah, he was second overall, or second round.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Second round, second pick. My bad. So never mind. Only seven. My list was correct. I shouldn't have second guessed it.
Yeah.
So only seven players. Can you guess the seven players that were drafted in the first round after the year 2000?
After 2000. I can name... Yeah, okay. So Francisco Garcia.
Yep.
Earl Clark.
Yep.
Terrence Williams.
Yep.
Donovan Mitchell.
Yep.
Terry Rozier. How many is that?
That is five, so you got two more.
Oh, I'm not thinking of.
If you don't
here.
Get this one guy, you're going to really hate yourself. I'm going to tell you that much. Because I know he's one of your favorites.
Rhys Gaines?
Well, he's definitely on the list, and there's one more.
Who the fuck am I not thinking of?
10 years of service.
Oh, Gorgui Jang.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I nailed it,
man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you nailed it.
Totally redeemed myself.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you tell me which one of these guys was a lottery pick?
Which of those
which
that
one,
I named?
Which one of those seven, yeah.
How many are there?
Only one.
Only one?
Yeah.
No, that's not right.
I'm pretty sure. Let me just double check.
Earl Clark and Terrence Williams were both lottery picks in the same year. I know that.
Let's see here.
And Donovan Mitchell was a lottery pick.
Terrence Williams was a lottery pick. Donovan Mitchell was a lottery pick. And Earl Clark was a lottery pick. So there's three. Sorry. Williams, Mitchell, and Clark.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's right.
The highest pick since the year 2000 was Terrence William, who was 11th overall in 2009.
Yeah, that really panned out, huh?
I mean, it's...
He was a killer on 2K.
I gotta be honest with you, man. Learning more and more about Louisville University basketball, and I was like, I'm not nearly as impressed as I thought I would be with their alumni class.
A lot of great college players who just don't. It's, you know, it's just.
You just
not...
drive down. You drive down the road, and it's a completely different story. Like, it's crazy. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's his number one goal is to get kids into the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what works.
Does it?
The last
one
question. Through them all, the last question: who was the first ever former Cardinal to be drafted into the NBA? Drafted into the NBA.
The first? God, I don't know.
1947, 17th overall, which was the second round at that period of time. Jack Knopf? K-N-O-P-F.
Oh, yeah, of course. I have no idea. I've never heard that name in my life.
The legend.
It sounds like I'm sure the K is silent.
Was there any other facts that you wanted to share about your loving alma mater?
We might be above 500 this year.
Oh, that's good.
No, we won't. We won't be.
Any fun prospects that you expect to one and done their way into the top 60?
Not a single one. There is not a single one.
I think there was somebody that actually got drafted last time, draft, if I remember correctly.
There wasn't. there wasn't. I promise there wasn't.
Oh, no, there wasn't. The last person who was drafted was David Johnson by the Raptors, and he unfortunately bounced off of the Raptors, so.
Yeah. Big Jordan Nwora fan, though.
I thought he might
kick around for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's gotten minutes and stuff like that. Yeah. He's still pretty young, so
I'm sure he's
going to get another contract.
He's like a Paul Pierce type, like just catch and shoot.
Yeah, no, he ran into some shooting difficulties because he used to be with Milwaukee.
Yep.
But when he came to Indiana, he seemed to have really turned it on. Let me just double check because I'm pretty sure he hasn't signed yet.
He should. That'd be a good place for him to play. may not be getting the minutes this year. Yeah, well,
Indiana got really deep all of a sudden, so who knows what they're going to be able to do. But yeah, no, he's still a restricted free agent right now, so he could still sign with them as well.
Good for him.
So that went a lot quicker than I expected, so let's go ahead and just go right into me stumping Baldy. Or not Baldy, Sandy. The Baldy of sand.
Not quite as foolish as you thought, huh?
No, you did okay. It was starting off pretty rough, but once we started getting into players that actually happened within your lifetime, you seem to have nailed it pretty succinctly.
It's on brand.
I promise that this won't go that well.
All right, so I was like, I have to make a fool out of this asshole Sandy. How am I gonna do that? And so I decided I took what Sandy loves the most in this world, and I'm gonna turn it against him. And you're right, Sandy. I don't have any faith that you're going to answer many of these questions. I tried to get as easy as I could, but...
Sure.
But I got to be honest, there's a lot more history when looking into the Phoenix Suns than I had expected. So, Sandy, why don't you pick a number between 1 and 5, and I'll read your first penance.
Let's go 1.
Number 1. So, the Phoenix Suns have hired their 21st coach in franchise history, and Frank Vogel. Can you tell me who the coach who coached the most games in franchise history?
It's not D'Antoni.
Nope. D'Antoni doesn't make the top 4.
Not on the Mount Rushmore.
No. All right. It's John McLeod. Coached 1,122 games from the year 1974 to 1987.
Next
closest was Cotton Fitzsimmons, who coached 549 games.
Never heard of him.
It's a shame.
Forget old Cotton.
Me, who was born in the year 1990. And didn't start watching basketball until 2004.
All right, well, I got good news for you, man. All of these players that I'm about that are in this next question, all but one of them were in the league dominating while you were paying attention. So, can you tell me who are the franchise's top 5 players in made three-pointers?
Steve Nash.
He's number 2.
Devin Booker.
He's number 1.
Leandro Barbosa.
He's number 4.
Rajah Bell.
Not on the list.
Oh, shit. Joe Johnson?
Not on the list.
It's kind of surprising.
Channing Frye?
Not on the list.
Go on and give me the other two.
Dan Majerle?
Marley,
yeah, sure. I guess that's what you want to call him.
That's his name. It's done. It's Dan Marley.
He's number 3.
Yeah.
Number 5, Sean Marion.
Ah, the Matrix. Yep. I never would have gotten Sean because he's got that jump shot, and I just don't think of him as a shooter.
Finger flick.
Yeah. You don't think of him as a shooter. I think of him as a slasher and a defender.
Yeah,
I didn't even think to think Grant to guess Grant Hill. He wasn't there, but he's another one that would have been a good guess. Anyway, yeah, continue.
Yeah. So, how about this one? All two of these guys you should definitely get. So we'll see. Two of these 4. So I'm only asking for 3. DeAndre Ayton is the only player ever in franchise history to be drafted first overall, but the Suns have drafted 4th 4 times. Kind of creepy. Can you name 3 of them?
I doubt it. Amari Stoudemire?
Nope. One of these guys refused to work out for this for the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, that means nothing to me. That means less than nothing to me. Kyrie Irving? Like, no, what are we doing here? I don't know. Who hates the Celtics?
So, do you give up?
Oh, yeah. I don't have a clue.
Dragan Bender.
Okay.
The Croatian Sensation.
Yeah.
Josh Jackson.
Yeah.
He was in rumors of being the first overall pick, but he decided he didn't want to work out for the Boston Celtics.
Whatever.
And they
decided
to take Jason Tatum instead. Josh Jackson amounted to absolutely nothing.
He sure did.
Man, I forgot all about him.
Yeah. Along with Dragan Bender, to be honest.
So two of the names you've said so far have been like whitewashed from my mind. I've just forgotten it. That all of those seasons right there are umbrella termed as I don't want to be here anymore today. Right, that's what they exist as.
Corky Calhoun.
What?
I don't know that name.
And then John Shamit.
Yeah, I don't know that name either.
Yeah, those are your 4/4.
So I would eventually got the first two. Eventually.
Eventually.
If I sat here and thought about like the demons in my closet, but
all of these facts, by the way, are courtesy of basketballreference.com, by the way.
Yeah.
So prior
if I was a scumbag, I would just Google this.
Prior to 2020-2021, the last time the Suns made the playoffs was 2009-2010.
Yeah.
When they made it all the way to the Western Conference Finals to lose to the Lakers.
To the Lakers in six after that fucking putback in Game 5 by Ron Artest. But
can you tell me who were the most common starting five during the regular season that year?
Steve Nash.
Yep.
Mari Stoudemire.
Yep.
Robin Lopez.
I'll give you that one. He's technically in the second most, but it was their most winning lineup was Robin Williams or Robin Lopez. Sorry.
We didn't have Jay Rich yet. And we didn't have Shaq at that point. Grant Hill.
Yep.
Who played the two? Wasn't Joe. He was gone years before. Jason Richardson?
Yep.
It was Jay Rich.
Yep, that's right. So, yeah, the starting lineup that was the most common was actually Channing Frye instead of Robin Lopez.
Channing Frye.
Grant Hill, Steve Nash, Jay Rich, and Amari Stoudemire. That lineup went 22-16 during the regular season. Robin Lopez starting instead of Channing Frye went 20-6. And then in the playoffs, it was Robin Lopez throughout the playoffs, pretty much.
There is a pretty discernible advantage, 20-6 versus 22-16.
Robin Lopez is still kind of a beast. Like I get that he's been like relegated to playing like 10-15 minutes off the bench, but he's a game changer every time he's in there.
He's big and he's got range.
How did Robin Lopez not get get the Steven Adams treatment in the league? Is it just because he's goofy?
I don't know. It might be the hair. People might not like the hair. Although I think it's great. I respect it. But also, he might just want to hang out with his brother. I don't know.
All right. The last one here. I know you're not going to get it, so we'll try our best, though. Can you tell me who are the franchise leaders, the five franchise leaders in win shares? Per Basketball Reference.
The five franchise leaders in win shares.
Yeah.
Well, is no one who's currently on the roster except for maybe DeAndre Ayton.
Nope, he's not on there. Three of these guys are from the glory years.
Nash.
Yeah, he's number three.
Grant Hill.
Not on there.
Really?
Yeah.
Rajah?
Not on there. You have to remember, it's a big, heavy category. Like, favors bigs.
Oh, favors bigs. Win shares.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking of guys who won the most games. All right, I'm going to go Stoudemire.
Stoudemire, yeah, he's number five.
Lopez?
Nope.
Damn.
All right, we got The Matrix coming in at number one with 93.2 win shares. Kevin Johnson, number two, at 90.9.
The mayor.
And then number four, Alvin Adams.
Oh, Alvin Adams, yeah. No Thunder Dan on that one, huh?
No Thunder Dan on that one.
Yeah. I always, I never consider The Matrix. I never even consider him.
It's so weird because he's clearly the, like, I mean, like, clearly the best player out of that era was Nash. But the person who had the best career outside of Nash is easily Sean Marion.
I associate him with Dallas and Miami.
I really don't. My favorite memories of him were, like, catching lobs from Nash. He was an all-star there. He even played in a three-point competition there.
It might have been before I was really watching.
Yeah.
Do you remember when? And said, nice block, JT. And then he later beat the New York Knicks, he said it was really great to have a game that was decided by the players instead of the refs. So
this is LeBron easing into middle age.
Then he's followed. Yeah, exactly.
JT.
Yeah, on Instagram, he's like, "Yeah, I'm good. Take this to the gram, JT."
How do you do, fellow kids?
Then he, and then obviously Kyrie Irving trade happened, and LeBron James really was really gung ho about bringing Kyrie to LA.
You're listening to the Fool Court Press Podcast.
All right, we're back and better than ever. Welcome back to the Fool Court Press Podcast, the only podcast made by fools for fools. Now it's time for our favorite segment of the week, Too Hot the Foolie with Sandy and Baldy. Sandy, take it away.
That ain't happening.
All right, now we're talking Duke discusses a TikTok trend. Duke, take it away.
Follow us on TikTok at F Court Press. That's the latest trend. Back to you.
We have a couple of videos there, including a dance-off between Mark Madsen and Joel Embiid. So be sure to check it out.
Please comment who you think wins.
Sandy, do you have a soccer second you'd like to contribute?
Messi.
Awesome. And Duke, movie review.
Guys, I have watched a lot of movies this week. I saw Barbie, I saw Oppenheimer, and a few other movies here at home. So, which review do you guys want?
Give me Barbie.
Good movie.
Awesome.
Give me Oppie.
Very good movie.
Oh, interesting. Ooh. So you actually preferred Oppenheimer to Barbie?
I think so. Yeah.
Not a common take.
I would watch both again. I think I need to digest both of them again.
And how about Paranorman?
What's that?
I don't know. Something in the water.
Okay. Well, that'll about do it for the Fool Court Press Podcast, the only podcast made by fools for fools. You're joined today by Lufa, Baldy, and Duke. And that's one me. Of them's not Baldy, but it's actually Sandy.
It's Sando now, by the way. Duke is christened to be Sando.
All right, and you can reach the show via voicemail number at 724-FU-FOOLS. That's 724-383-6657. You can also text that number. Follow us on Twitter at FCorePress. Send topic suggestions to hashtag FCPRundown. We're also on Instagram and Threads at FoolCourtPressPodcast or on TikTok at FCorePress. Everybody say bye.
John Collins went to Wake Forest.
Ooh, really?
The Demon Deacon.
Jake that would explain why he's such a disappointment.
Jake LaRavia.
Jake LaRavia. Hmm.
Who?
Isn't he a baseball player?
He's Memphis, I think, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is Sandy?
My sandwich.
Where the fuck is Baldy?
Keep having fun, bro.
Have fun. Yeah, just keep having fun, guys. We got Sandy in here. When he gets in here.
Looks like he's on. Or he looks like he's on Discord now anyway. So okay. I think he's coming.
Cool.
Probably had to take a big old crap.
You mean talk?
Yeah.